B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. On today's show, we'll be talking about C9 White winning yet another big Valorant tournament, but are they getting a little bit too arrogant? Also, Capcom says they want PC to be their primary platform coming out. What does that mean for consoles? And also, PS5 toying around with the idea of game trials. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And we will close today's show talking about Worlds. That's right, Worlds starts at 7 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. So we're going to go through who all's making it and who all may have one of the best chances to win. This is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news, Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Your host, Norris Howard, here as always. It is another wonderful Monday. I'm here joined by two of my favorite people. First, we're going to start not where I usually go, but we're going to start with Chad Callahan because, Chad, this is your final week here at Checkpoint XP. We are all incredibly sad, but let the people know what's up.
I don't want to give away too much, but I will be walking away from Checkpoint next week and some big exciting things in the horizon for gaming and esports. So, and you know, as it comes up, I'll let everybody know because I don't even know. There's lots of things happening where I'm going and I'm excited to announce it. So, you know, if y'all want to follow me at officially Chad 2Ds, you know.
We know.
Chad da da.
We got it. But yeah, we just wanted to put that out there. So this will be the last week you get to hear Chad on the Daily Show as an official co-host. But that doesn't mean we won't have Chad back.
That's
ever
true.
Again.
I mean, we'll probably be streaming.
We'll be streaming.
I mean, we have Callie's wedding.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be chilling together.
And as a matter of fact, Back 4 Blood comes out in like 2 weeks.
100%.
So,
and like Rick has a bunch of games that he's going to be playing with me on the Chestery YouTube channel. If you guys want to go over there as well and subscribe.
Because I like playing shitty games.
So. Yeah, we play a lot of shitty games.
You're very, very adept at playing shitty
video
games.
To find me a spooky game for October and come on first 30.
I already have one.
By the way, okay, today, soon as I get home, I am purchasing that Beaver City Builder.
Hell yeah.
Timberborn.
Yes, I saw somebody playing it on Twitch this morning, and I was like,
good?
Damn it,
I gotta
play it.
It's very good.
Yeah,
I mean,
based off the trailer alone, I was like, I kind of in, but I don't know how much time I dedicate to it.
It's a city builder. You got to dedicate a lot of time.
See, that's
to
my
it.
Problem. I don't have the, I don't know,
patience.
Attention span.
You didn't play SimCity?
You play
I'm
Minecraft.
See, Minecraft's different because I loved Legos because I could turn my brain off. That's SimCity is too much. Like, there's a lot of monitoring, and I don't like that.
All right.
Do you want to know how Caucasian I am?
Yes. How Caucasian are you?
In middle school, I was actually on a professional SimCity team. What we did, and it was through the school.
Was this like speed building?
No, it was they gave a statewide prompt to like, you have to create a city and you have to name it and build a like economy around it. And you had to develop it and show why you built things where and whoever like score points.
Oh, it's like a civil engineering course, basically.
Yes. And then you competed against other high schools by doing a big or middle schools by doing a big presentation about your
city.
Yeah. Dog, it was the most white people shit that could have ever happened.
But did you learn anything out of it, at least?
Yes, I loved. Like,
actually,
it's a very. I mean,
that's
that game,
pretty cool, and I would have loved to participate in something like that. Professional Farming Simulator is much wider.
Oh, for sure. I'm not saying I am the like. I don't want to say I'm like Rob Lowe yet, but I'm like.
Hey, Rob Lowe is a national treasure.
He is one of the whitest men I know.
Yeah, but know what? He's a lovable white man.
He's okay. He always plays great bad guys.
He does play great bad guys.
Yeah.
But then, like, you hear him talk in real life, and you're like, fuck, why do I like him so much?
He's just nice. He's charismatic. But also, before we get into our stories today, the final Smash character comes out tomorrow. Or it will be announced tomorrow. And so I wanted to very briefly go around the table here. Who is the final Smash character? I want the wild crackpot theories right now.
Is someone we might not know?
Sakurai did say this may be a character you do not know.
Now, here's the one thing I will say. Off rip, it's not Sora. I promise you.
No.
They are not putting Sora or Goku or Master Chief in the same shit that people have been saying
Goku
for 4 years.
Goku in Smash is still the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
Do you want to know who mine is?
Hit me with it.
Beautiful Joe.
I would love Beautiful Joe.
You know, that'd be cute.
That'd be, listen, he already has a cool animation style. I think it would stand out.
He fits perfectly for Smash.
He has, like, the cool moveset. You know what?
Beautiful Joe, and that makes sense because only millennials will understand who the fuck Beautiful Joe is. And so I think that would be a great character that fits well in Smash. Chad, what about you?
I forget his name, but I always, okay, his name is Vice from Skies of Arcadia. I'm just throwing it out there because I feel like that game keeps popping up in just like
it's an old classic.
An old classic. No one's played it because who the fuck had a Dreamcast? But like,
I
it's one of those,
Skies of Arcadia.
It's like the only game that anyone ever remembers from Dreamcast outside
maybe
a Sonic.
We remember Panzer Dragoon. You're
right. Power Stone.
That, I think, didn't that come out later? Parappa
the Rapper.
No, that was
Panzer
Sony.
Dragoon came out in something else because I didn't have Dreamcast and I played it.
No, Panzer Dragoon is all Sega consoles basically. It came out on Saturn too.
Okay, maybe that's how I played it.
Also, how you gonna forget about Power Stone or Shenmue or Marvel vs. Capcom 2?
I feel like a lot of these I played were
Blue
because of
Stinger
ports.
Or what's another Dreamcast game that
I
everybody
guarantee
played?
Most people remember them from ports less so.
Code Veronica. yeah, I could go all day about Dreamcast games.
Sure, you but I don't think too many people actually played Dreamcast.
No, not a lot.
That's why it didn't last very long.
Your guess?
I put it on Twitter the other day. I really hope it's Zagreus from Hades.
You know what? First off, if it's nobody we've known, it's not that.
No, but you might not know. And I'm pretty sure the cross-section of people who love Smash and people who love Hades is not that big of a Venn diagram.
Maybe.
And so I would love it simply because he's got the whole weapon switching thing, so he could look like he's a sword user at first, but he's got the spear and the gun and the bow and a bunch of other stuff.
Do you want to know the most like guest replies on Twitter?
Yeah.
Just a sampling. Crash Bandicoot makes it in there once again. Travis Touchdown from No More Heroes.
That's a good one.
Cuphead Mugman.
Cuphead would be
Cuphead
cool.
would be great.
I would love that combo.
Paper Mario.
No.
Lara Croft.
No.
Rayman.
No.
Or coming in at number 4 of the most like guest on Twitter, the Tetronimos from Tetris.
What's a tetronimo?
It's the pieces. It's the pieces of Tetris.
Those are called tetronimos?
Yes.
Those are. That's the name of them.
It's a trademark name.
It's not like block. Like
they all have.
Blocks.
They all
I just
have.
They were like I block, L block,
no.
square block.
They all have names too.
Really?
Yes.
I'm. What?
Yes.
We're not doing this. We're not doing this. We're not doing this.
All right. They are called tetronimos.
We're doing this.
Okay, I'll research this later. I am actually hella interested right now.
All
right,
listen. While you research that, we will find out what's happening in the world of video games. Now, Rick, we're going to toss this to you because C9 White has won yet another tournament. They are the victors of the VCT Game Changers. Was this three?
Yes,
VCT
this
Game
is
Changers
the third
three?
One.
Yeah, and listen, they went about their business. They won fairly handedly. They did only drop one map throughout the entire tournament. However, Rick, you were present in the post-game press conferences, and it seemed to you that they were very, very, a little bit arrogant within the press conference.
Yeah, I mean, one big takeaway is that, you know, they finally dropped their very first map. You know, like, that's a big deal. It's not a big deal, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it is and isn't.
Yeah, because at some point you're going to drop a map, right? Like, the big thing that they expressed, the players at least, was that it's a relief to finally lose a map just because now it's like it's done. So in the future when it happens again, it's not like you're like, oh my god, we lost a map.
Especially when it's more stakes, you know.
Yeah. But the other thing too is that they continued to say over and over and over that this was the easiest tournament that they had ever played in, is what they were saying. They just kept saying how this was not even close to a challenge. You know, and it's kind of true because they had a, like, when they played Dignitas Female, they won 13-1. Like, that looks like the score line for most of their stuff. 13-7 in the Game Changers 2 finals. They Shopify Rebellion is essentially the only team that's really standing toe-to-toe with these guys.
I was about to say, because when you look at the actual score line, I mean, 13-10, that's not a blowout. You got 13-8, which is... You got Shopify Rebellion taking a map from them 13-11, and then the last one was a blowout 13-6.
And then also one of those maps on Icebox, they were actually up. So Shopify Rebellion lost the lead and could have taken
And that's what I'm saying. So for me, I feel like you can't say, oh, there's no competition, da-da-da-da-da. No, Shopify played y'all.
Yeah.
They played y'all and had your backs up against the wall a couple moments, of which... Because you're a good team, you are able to play through. And I just think it's in poor taste for any team. And I'm not just saying this because it's C9 White. I would say the same thing about, you know, when other teams get to talk a shit. Admit that this team kind of gave you a run. I'm not saying you got to, you know, say they're the best thing since sliced bread. But one thing I will say is that I think it is good to have antagonists.
Yes.
I think that's a good thing overall. I think there is something to be said about being a Red Sox fan and the Yankees exist. Like, you need you need them to exist.
Yeah.
Like, you need somebody to... You need rivalry. You need somebody to hate. You need University of Michigan to have Ohio State. You need, you know, Alabama to have LSU. You need, or Auburn to have LSU. You need to have all of these rivalries across all sports in order to create those narratives. And I think we're beginning to see one finally emerge, because you're right, Rick. Shopify Rebellion is the only competitive team right now.
The asterisk.
Competitive
right now. The biggest thing is, in the past 2-3 weeks, some of the largest signings so far in female Valorant, the one that I really want to highlight is G2 just announced that they are signing a female roster. And here's the thing, that G2 squad that they signed won everything in women's CSGO. Everything. Mm-hmm. Literally, they were just mopped up the floor consistently with their team.
That's kind of exciting to see. Because, like, we've seen a lot of what I've been seeing is a lot of people from Overwatch coming over to. So it's nice to see some, like, females coming from CSGO, because I really think that's going to be the difference.
Yeah. I mean, but that's what it is in the men's division, right? It's the one-to-one that's like, oh, men come from CSGO because, you know, it's a tax shooter, so the skills are the same. And I agree with you, Chad. I'm looking forward to seeing what this G2 team will do, because for me, I think C9 White has gotten very comfortable, and
yes.
I think they now see themselves as a unstoppable force. And
well, it's not even just the players who say
it's
that.
Not even just the players.
If you want to go into it,
the coaching staff, the players, we ain't got to go into it too tough, Rick.
I mean, well, here's the thing. Last note on the G2 team: it's the former Xset female Counter-Strike team.
Which, so, Xset, I'm super excited for in general.
But it's another thing is that it's not. G2 didn't just find a group of women who were already playing and then sign them to contracts.
No, they found a team.
A team. Like, people that were already in a professional organization. Xset just announced a team. Liquid just announced a team. Like, we are now going to see competition at a much higher level. And I'm just, my feeling when we're talking about this, when you make the mention of, like, and the difference between antagonist and villain, is that, Cloud9 White continually said, the reason that we're being as successful as we are is that other teams continue to just not win, make roster change, not win, make roster change. So they're not moving forward. Well, there's a big gap that other teams are trying to close, and Cloud9 White haven't encountered teams like that. Yeah. They are going to... Very soon.
You know,
they could still win everything. Like, I'm not saying
that,
like,
it could be more competitive. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the thing is I'm glad you brought that up, because at the end of the day, people continually seem in esports continually devalue keeping your roster together.
Just fucking fix it.
Letting players learn each other. It's insane, because listen, anybody who has played any sport, anything competitive will tell you, having a teammate of which you know what they're going to do before they do it gives you an advantage over anybody you could play. Period. It gives you, if that team is hobbled together a bunch of pugs,
yeah,
and you're a team that's together, you're going to have an advantage no matter what. I know that if I'm playing with Robbie and he's on Mercy, I got a pocket healer. I'm good. I don't have to worry about getting healed because Robbie's going to heal me. So I can be more aggressive. I can go forward. I can, you know, maybe hop on fire a bit, a riskier champion or whatever, and play more freely. And that makes it harder for the other team to play me. And so when you talk about stuff like that, when it comes to C9 White, I think Shopify will be together for a while because they're getting some results. I think also you got, I think Xset Female will be around for a little bit. I think Dig will probably do some roster moves based on how they played.
They got obliterated. Well,
really? Not just that, but when they lost big. And when they win,
not just from one team.
It's feast or famine with Dig Female, and that's the
Well, they were one of the first too, weren't they?
Yeah, and then here's the other thing too is that these are still all they're not pug teams because that's like devaluing them, right? Yeah. I don't think I would speak about men's teams and be like, oh, they're just pugs teams, but like one of the reasons Cloud9 White is winning so successfully, they have two full-time coaches, right? Mm-hmm. They have an entire like list of resources that they're able to access.
They get the full organizational support of
Cloud9 is doing it well.
Yeah, they're pumping money into it. Yeah. I mean, they're not just handing out money, but it's still a matter of like they have women that are very good at the game that are made even better, you know what I mean? Like untouchable because
they have support
of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So until you get all teams like that, you know, it's going to be, I don't think that you can really be like, ha ha ha, we're the best that there ever was, when it's still not a full deck you're playing against.
Yeah,
yet.
Exactly. So moving forward now, Capcom has gone on record saying that they want to make PC its major platform. So according to an interview from Nikkei, which is a business newspaper, by the way, their COO has said that they want PC software sales to a point by the end of next year that is half of its global sales. So they essentially want to have half of all the shit they make available for PC. Now, here's how I feel about that. I think you'd be stupid not to.
I was going to say, like, if you thought that was a bad idea, I was going to fight
you. You'd be stupid not to,
one.
Because, like, let's be reality.
Yeah.
All right? Video games are living and dying by their ability to be streamed.
Yep.
Flat out. Okay? And if you want your game streamed and played and talked about with the most ease of use humanly possible, it's got to be on PC.
Yep.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that people who have PS5s are, like, scuffed or anything like that.
No.
But I think this is intelligent. I think it's smart. And listen, Capcom has been a third-party developer for everybody. They have no console loyalty. So they could do whatever they want. I think this is a very smart, very straightforward idea that everybody should do.
Most games companies are on this trajectory anyways, outside of like maybe the PlayStation, Xbox, you know, world.
Yeah.
Because like Capcom already posts, when Resident Evil 8 came out, you know, it obviously went to PC, you know. It's not like something that they weren't doing already. It's just interesting that they're now all of a sudden saying like, oh yeah, PC's where we want to be, which is, I don't know. I find that weird because it's not like it wasn't available before.
Well, I don't think the story is necessarily in we want things available for PC.
Yeah.
I think the story is more so saying
their focus.
It will be our focus moving forward, as opposed to saying we want to focus on the console, right?
I'm curious what they'll change though.
Well, Monster Hunter Rise, which was a Switch exclusive,
Capcom,
is now coming to PC, which is a move, in my opinion, that was great because I was not going to play that game. I'll play it on PC.
I think it's more than just like what they're not going to make different games because of it.
Right.
I think what it is it's a positioning of like you have all these games that have been locked away for the longest time that like Norris, there's many Norrises in the world that did not play plenty of Capcom games because they was just like on a console I didn't have.
Mm-hmm. I'm worried about one thing.
I play everything in Capcom, but I get your point.
I have one main worry with this.
Mm-hmm.
I do not need another launcher I don't need another platform.
No, no.
That's what I'm worried about.
Here's the thing. I think because all the shit they release is going through Steam right now.
Steam? Yeah, I can't even think. I don't think they do Epic.
No, I think everything they got is going through Steam. I think they'd be smart to keep it that way.
Please.
Please do not be EA. Absolutely not.
I do not need another launcher. If that happens,
let me put it this way. If you make a Capcom launcher, you better give me every fucking game you've ever made. 100%. Period.
I need like a way to just play them all for like Xbox Game Pass level. You
yes,
know what I mean?
I better be able to play the arcade perfect version of X-Men Children of the Atom, which came out in like 96.
I just
like, you better give it to me if you're gonna make your own damn launcher.
I don't need every developer making a launcher.
I don't think they're focused on a launcher. No, you know what they're probably focused on more than anything else is DRM and Denuvo, like the anti-piracy stuff.
Yeah,
like you know, putting your stuff on PC makes it so
it
that
opens
you,
it up.
Yeah, it opens it up so that you can lock it down. Plus, I mean, Monster Hunter Rise has microtransactions, correct? It's more people to make money on. Like, I think they just see that as like, hey, it's cool to make a console exclusive, but those people only pay so much money. Mm-hmm. We want as many people as possible paying as much money.
I think the era of timed exclusives will still be a thing, but looking at this,
money's going to always be money.
Money going to be money. You know what I'm saying? But the one thing I'll give Capcom before we move on, they are not doing the Square Enix route of giving you a scuffed-ass port when you put the game on Steam.
Yeah.
Because Monster Hunter Rise, when it is ported over to PC later this month, it'll have voice chat, 4K visuals. You could do ultra-wide. It'll have multiple controller support. So
they're putting the money where their mouth is. Okay.
Exactly, exactly. And that was another reason why I didn't want to play Monster Hunter Rise, because I didn't want to look at fugly Switch graphics.
Yeah,
but
720
anyway.
Or whatever it was.
Ugh! I don't want to do it. Anyway, Chad, you brought up a story right before we cut the microphones on that I think is incredibly interesting.
Yeah.
So apparently PS5 is going to be tooling with the ability to try games before you buy them.
Yeah. So in the UK, they're doing a little bit of testing right now. And I think it's only with two games currently, but it's Death Stranding's Director Cut and the Sackboy A Big Adventure, mm-hmm. which, interestingly enough, and this is brought up by Jared Moore at IGN is where I got the story from. How long would you think that these trials are? Like, imagine you had
10 hours.
You think it's going to be 10 hours? Mm-hmm. All right, what do you think, Rick? Like, it's a trial.
Think about how...
I was thinking demo level. Like,
think
that's
about
how
big a what's big Steam, certain games
what's
are.
What's Steam's?
I think Steam's only, like, a couple hours.
Well, here... because I don't know how much Steam is.
Okay, so Steam has a two-hour
two
refund.
Hour, yeah.
So, okay, all right. So that's what I figured. Like, 2 hours... Or less.
Yeah.
Can you get the feel of a fucking game in 2 hours?
I think so. I mean, if you're really just curious, but
you
at the
cannot.
Same time, how many games, like, okay, imagine Resident Evil. Oh, I'm going to test it out. I beat it in 10 hours.
I mean, no, I feel you, but I'm just saying you cannot get the vibe of Death Stranding in 2 hours.
I guess,
all
right, I guess it depends because, and that's a good point because it does depend on the game, how long each
really?
One is. For example, Death Stranding is 6 hours of free gameplay.
That's
which
perfect.
I thought was crazy.
That's
when
perfect.
I read that.
Do you know how long it takes for you to walk across the countryside, Chad?
I guess, but why do you have to walk across the countryside before you're
in
like, yeah, I'll
six
fully
hours
buy
you're
the,
on delivery two.
I guess by two. Then, I guess by then you're like so immersed in the game, you're like,
I'm gonna buy.
I need to buy this.
Which, by the way, I actually low key
not a bad idea.
Want to go back and play Death Stranding again. But the whole thing is, I'm just saying, I like the fact that it depends on the game. Because listen, do you need a 6 hour trial of Guacamelee? No.
Hell yeah, I do.
No, but I'm just saying, I think it's a good idea moving forward. There are plenty. I mean, we talk about Game Pass. We talk about the Epic Games Store. We talk about how there are so many games that you've given a try to because they're free, because they're available, that low-key ended up games you really like. And I feel like for a game like Death Stranding, which is an acquired taste if I ever, Death Stranding is the dark beer of, like, video games, right? It's either, like, it's Guinness.
You hate it or you love it?
You hate it or you love it, right? And I think for a lot of people, they are never going to spend $60 on that game unless they got their hands on
unless
it and played
it. Unless they fully were immersed and then we're at a point where it, like, cuts off and you're like,
Well, what happened?
Well, what happened next?
Okay, I see what you say, but I will say, like, this is in the UK only. So if we have any UK fans who have magically gotten their hands on a PS5 and probably stole it off a truck somewhere, let us know if you like it, because I'm curious how this, if this will entice you enough. Because, like, we can't try it, obviously.
Right.
Dude, I'm telling you, the reason Steam does so well on weirdo games is because of the return policy. Having that put on any platform will see a boon for any game studio that is not a AAA Sony studio.
Okay.
I'm telling you. Like,
I mean, these are AAA games.
But I think the point is it benefits smaller games.
More than 100%, anything else.
100%. Okay. Because, listen, I think at this point, if you were on the Death Stranding bandwagon or not, like, yeah, that ship has sailed, right? But think about what that would have did to a game like, I don't know, Cyberpunk, right? Think of people got a chance to play that game for 4 hours before they decided to buy it.
That's
from a consumer standpoint, I'd have felt a lot better about not buying that game.
That's a good point.
Don't get me wrong, I still play Cyberpunk from time to time. But the point is, and what I'm trying to explain is that this empowers consumers, and it's an ability for the small developers, in the same way that the free game does, to get people to play the games, like, new, when they're new. Yeah. You know what I mean? We don't have to have an Among Us situation where it gets popular 2 years after it's made.
Now, this is a weird thing, and I know this is very specific, but I always find it a bit weird when I think about it. Do you think it would be fair for streamers to use this? Like, oh, we're going to play the first 6 hours, and then you just use it for free. And then, you know what I mean? Like, it just feels a bit, like, shady using it for your own financial gain.
I don't think. Here's the thing.
I guess it depends if you're
if you're a game developer, you do not give two shits. That's extra eyeballs on your video games. I feel like if you're a fan of that stream, you want them to finish that game if you're interested in it.
That's fair.
You want to see them play more of it. So I think that could be a little depressing. But other than that, no, I actually don't think this harms anybody. It's very rare in the business of video games where I could look at something new and I go, actually, low-key, not many people lose from this.
Yeah, I was just trying to play some devil's advocate, see if there's any, like, negatives. I mean, they do talk about some, like, things about you do have to download the entire game to do it. So
that's fine.
But, you know, you take some, if you don't want it, you remove it. That's the way
that's
I figure about it.
Listen, if you pissing and moaning about hard drive space in 2021, like, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, stop playing PS5 and Xbox. Though.
Exactly. No,
for real.
Like,
I'm not going to lie.
At that point, or, I don't know, delete Modern Warfare. But anyway, with that said, that's going to be it for part one. In part two, we're going to give our very brief world preview. It gets underway tomorrow, so make sure you stick around. This has got more Checkpoint Daily.
Bring the heat. Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Weird Beer to my left, Chad Callahan to my right. You already know.
Check the site.
My whole brain just cut off.
That was a blue screen. That's like where you sit there and you...
I thought you were like waiting for one of us to like chime in. I was like,
It's like when you're playing The Sims and you just cancel their action and they put a salad on the ground.
That's so
you
funny.
Know what happened is that I said that and immediately an Outkast lyric came up in my head and I was just like, that's not related.
That's
Spotty Adidopoulos is a great album.
No, I was just straight up, you know, because it's Big Boy to my left, Andre to my right. Tight like hallways, smoked out hallways.
That's the second time in a recording someone's blue screened like that. We
and
were
I'm just
playing
like,
a game, and my friend David in our first dirty video literally just stopped talking for a minute, and I'm like, "Are you okay? Hello?" And he's just like, "I completely lost."
I don't
all
even have no excuse. I got up, I ate breakfast, I've had my
sometimes
coffee.
Your brain just it's cloudy. It's one of those situations.
It just went bleh. Like I don't know what just happened, but anyway, we're back, and we're here to talk a little bit about Worlds. Now, if you are unfamiliar with Worlds, obviously, this is the League of Legends World Championships, in which the best teams from around the globe come together to decide which Chinese or Korean team is going to be the best in the world. And You know, I just wanted to kind of break it down a little bit because the play-in stages start tomorrow, 7 a.m. Eastern time, which, yes, have it in Iceland forever.
Ain't bad, ain't bad.
Ain't bad. I will get up at 7. Listen, depending on the schedule, I'll get up at
coffee, maybe put it on the background while you're showering.
It literally is about to be my morning routine for a month. This is why I love Worlds, like, because it is. It becomes your routine, especially when it's, like, not in the U.S.
Yeah.
It definitely, it becomes like a really awesome morning routine. I'm just so happy it doesn't have to be my 4 a.m. routine.
Yeah.
We got a lot of teams here to get through. So very briefly, we're going to talk about the plans. Group A, we're going to have Hanwha Life Esports coming out of Korea. We're going to have LNG, which is, I believe,
Korean and China.
Chinese. We have is Cloud9 in that group?
Yeah, Cloud9 Detonation. Focus, yep. Versus Detonation Focus Me.
No. That is Group B. Group A, we have Infinity, Peace, and Red Canids. None of those teams are going to do a lot. But
HLE versus LNG is going to be an interesting matchup, I think. Like, it's not only that, but both of them went through a lot to be able to even make it here from their respective regions to qualify. Mm-hmm. So these are two teams that are going to want to win.
They're hungry.
Yes.
They are hungry, but based on the seedings, it's going to be tough, I think, for Group A. I think Group B is only slightly tougher than Group A because for as much as you have HLE and LNG, in Group B, you're going to have Beyond Gaming, Cloud9, Unicorns of Love, Galatasaray, and Detonation Focus Me. I'm looking at Cloud9 and Detonation Focus Me in particular. Cloud9, a lot of people don't know this. I don't know if y'all remember. Cloud9 has performed the best of any NA organization at Worlds in history.
Ever.
3 years ago, they got to the semifinals, of which they lost, I believe, to FUN plus Phoenix. But
and here's the other thing, too, is that they're I don't think that they're going to have a Mad Lions, like, collapse, right?
No.
Like, Mad Lions absolutely melted down after supposedly being one of the best teams last time.
Yeah.
They've got Perks on their team, who's, like, he's a veteran.
Experience, been to the finals, baby.
And he's still one of the best mid laners. Like, he put some respect on his name.
Well, that's fine, but, you know, you still need the following team to be just as good.
Well, we'll see, because everybody was very high on Blabber from Cloud9 last season. He was arguably top 5 jungler in the world, and then he went to Worlds and got summarily stumped by every other jungler that they played. And so I think, you know, he's going in with a little bit of humble pie, ready to prove himself. So Cloud9 has the opportunity to do well. And Detonation Focus Me, coming out of Japan, was a team during the midseason invitational that played very, very well, beat a lot of NA teams. I think they even beat Royal Never Give Up as well.
Yes.
So they are a team that actually could make some noise depending on how the meta pans out. I'm 100% looking forward to seeing if they can make it out of this play-in stages. I'm rooting for them personally to make it out of play-in stages.
And we always try.
Yeah, so I really am looking forward to Detonation Focus Me and Cloud9. But we got to get to these groups. Now, obviously, the groups do not have their final teams per group because that's what the play-in stages are for. The top two from Group A, top two from Group B will all come together in a playoff round. And the top ones will move on to the group stage.
Who are your four teams that are going to the group stages?
You know what? I'm going to say HLE,
mm-hmm.
Cloud9,
mm-hmm.
Detonation Focus Me, and
Do you want a spicy take?
Yeah.
Oceania may be able to send a team. Peace has a possible chance to be able to make it through. I'm not saying that they are the dominant,
I mean,
you know what I mean?
If you could get from Oceania to here on that
You
ping,
know what?
I'm, you know what?
I'm going to say this. I'm going to pick my dark horses. Galatasaray is coming out of Turkey. The Turkish league scene has exploded.
Really?
in the past 3 years. They have a few players all across the world in different regions, but their homegrown region has stepped up quite a bit. I'm going to say Galatasaray is my kind of dark horse team to make it out of the play-ins.
Beyond Gaming is another team that you can keep an eye on.
Where are they from?
Beyond Gaming is...
they're out of Taiwan, PCS region.
I was going to say Turkey, but it's not.
No.
But, you know, like the big thing I think... for like the storyline of not only group stages but also for these play-ins is that there's a lot of good teams, but it's not head and shoulders. Here's the team that's going to wipe the floor
Not Damwon last year, right?
Correct, exactly.
Which, where Damwon was head and shoulders way better than everybody else. I think the gap has closed a little bit, not a lot, a little bit. I mean, Showmaker is still around, so I mean, as long as you got the best player in the world, you got a chance to win. But Group A is going to be Damwon, Fun Plus Phoenix, and Rogue. That is the group of death.
Yes.
That is the group. If you get seeded, you know what? Watch Cloud9 get seeded in the Group A. I just know it. I know it in my bones. They're going to get seeded to Group A and get stomped by each and every one of these teams.
Now, one of the other things, too, the amazing storylines that have been so far this year in League of Legends, the success of 100 Thieves.
Yes, in Group B, which they got a shot.
Yeah, you can listen. If you're buying stonks right now, you can buy low still. You have not missed the buy low on 100 Thieves stonks.
So will they
this
got
first
a shot
team
because
really depend
they,
on what they do.
Yes, they okay. got a shot because they're put into a group with Edward Gaming and SKT Telecom, which is now just T1.
Yep.
But you also have the GOAT Faker on T1 still, the greatest player in League of Legends history.
Ever.
Ever. One of the few to win Worlds more than once. And it's going to be tough for Honey Thieves. However, I feel like if they could come out swinging, if they could play with confidence, they may be able to take one off Edward Gaming. I think T1 will come out the top of this group. But I think Edward Gaming... I haven't been fully convinced on what I've seen of them. I think they will go deep. I actually think that they will. I actually picked them by mistake to win in my brackets, which I'm gonna have to change. I know I got to make a new email and all that. It sucks. So I'm just preempting this because if somebody checked me, I'm like, Norris, I checked your bracket. And you said Edward Gaming was gonna win. That was a mistake. Anyway,
I changed my mind. So 100 Thieves is like we're just happy to be here, kind of team. Is
no,
that what
I mean,
saying?
They earned their way there.
Okay. The team that's happy to be there is Team Liquid.
Yes,
which is they put a run together in playoffs and at the end of the summer split because everybody knew that TSM was poised to be the third team, to be the team that was going to make it out. But Team Liquid, at the end of the summer split, put together a great run, got through playoffs, knocked out TSM, and was able to get that spot and ultimately ended up seeded directly into the group stage.
It's like outside of maybe Rogue in Europe, and NA are still in a different class, like a lower class than Japan, Turkey.
Hell no, we better
Korea.
Than Japan. We better than Japan.
I don't know.
We're better than Japan. We're better than Turkey. We are the LEC is firmly the third best, and the LCS is firmly the fourth best. Now, that means you don't win Worlds.
Yeah.
All right. But the point is that if there's a region that we need to look out for, it's the PCS region. It's Taiwan, Hong Kong, and all that, because you got a team like PSG Talent, another team that popped off and did very well at MSI. They are in a group with Fnatic and Royal Never Give Up. That is the baby group of death. Of which, if you get seated there, you're not getting out. Because Royal Never Give Up is a title contender. Fnatic always seems to come to Worlds and perform.
They're up and down.
They fight.
You can pick either one that you want.
Yeah,
and be confident.
They are one of the few European teams to win Worlds, and they've also been to the finals a few times. But this is not that Fnatic, okay? So let's temper our expectations for them. And our final group will be Mad Lions, Gen G Esports, and Team Liquid. Gen G, which went on a tear the first half, the first split of the season, tapered off a little bit during the summer, but they had done enough to still get that spot. Team Liquid is here. I think this is the best shot for a NA team to get out of the group stage is in Group D.
Where do you think we're going to taper off, though?
You know, I think 100 Thieves, simply because 100 Thieves is in a very tough group. Okay. I think if C9 gets seeded into A or, well, you can't, C9 can't go to B or D because another NA team is already there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they can only get seeded into A or C. They are praying to get seeded into C because if you go to A, you done. You done. I mean, when you're looking at Danwon, FPX, and Rogue, I couldn't tell you out of those three besides Danwon who the second team coming out is going to be. So I think it's going to be really tough, but those are groups for Worlds as well as a little bit of play-ins. Listen, it's going to be hard to not put your money on Danwon, but never count out any of the Chinese teams being FPX, Edward Gaming, as well as LNG. So make sure you guys tune in. Again, 7 a.m. is when the play-ins begin. Let me see when Cloud9 plays. Cloud9 is going to play at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Against Detonation Focus Me, a team.
Good lunchtime watch.
A team that I believe beat them in the MSI. So it's going to be definitely so fun to watch. I can't wait. I don't know. We're probably going to get a pentakill performance. We're going to get. I can't wait to see what they do for the opening ceremony of the finals. I'm so excited. Worlds is back. It's like the one thing in esports that is like, this is the Super Bowl. Hype.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's going to be, I don't know if it's a pentakill and Pentakill is definitely going to be performing.
Well, yeah, because they had a new album.
Yeah, but I think that they're going to pull out, there's got to be another big thing here, right? Riot has made this crossover with Valorant and Zed recently. You could see a Zed performance pulled out. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that is going to pop off.
I mean,
here.
There's all this stuff, and their show just came out. I mean, there's got to be something. They've got something in their
pocket. Oh, yeah. And on top of that, shit, everybody got Worlds jerseys and stuff now. Like, this is so fun. This is ill, dude. Like, if you like esports, even if you don't like League, if you like esports, you need to be tuning in to Worlds.
At least
watch the pre-shows and stuff like that. But anyway, that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. We will be back here tomorrow. Well, you know what? We should talk a little bit about the Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl coming out this week.
I've watched
Hungrybox. I watched Hungrybox play a little bit of it. It looks shockingly solid.
You know what? I defended the hell out of it, and I'm so happy I did.
It looks shockingly solid.
I mean, I just remember when I was like, hey, they're including wave dashing. The entire world all of a sudden changed of how people looked at that game.
We kind of said, well, you know what? It might be legit. So that's going to be it. We will be back tomorrow for Weird Beer and Chad Callahan. I'm your host, Norris Howard, and we hope you all have a great day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.